Wessels, Philip. Banks Terrace, Wellington, New Zealand. May 30, 1893. Mr. Philip Wessels, Claremont, Cape Colony, South Africa. Dear brother, I received your very welcome letter yesterday. I do not know when I can send this letter, but will have it in readiness when a boat shall leave Wellington for Africa. Your letter was very encouraging and gave me much joy of heart to know that you are enjoying the heavenly beams of the Sun of Righteousness shining in your heart. My heart rejoices with you. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. I am thankful to my Lord that the work is prospering in Africa. My son, W.C. White, left Wellington in response to an urgent call from Sydney and Melbourne. Elder Daniels wrote him that now was the time to buy property for the school, for the price of land was a way down. He stated that he found a favorable location about 40 miles from Sydney, but we could see no way to purchase unless money would come from some quarter. We have prayed much over this matter. When your letter came, and I had read the contents, I sent it at once to Melbourne. A boat left for Melbourne yesterday. If they see a good opportunity to obtain land cheap, they can move right ahead in the matter. Your letter brings relief to many minds, for we could not see how we could advance unless some of the Lord's stewards should be convinced that it was the will of the Lord that they should come to our relief. I have faith that the Lord will open the way for to at least lay a foundation for broader work, and we cannot possibly do this without facilities. When we move forward in His opening providence, as far as we can possibly advance, and still the word comes, go forward. God will not withhold needful help after His design has been seriously entered upon. The Lord Jesus, who gave His life for the world, that not one need perish, will acknowledge and give sufficiency to those who will assume the burdens and work in His name. He weighs every difficulty and will help in every emergency. Our faith may be tested and tried, but help will come. The work must not stand still in these countries, but must advance. The true light shineth into all hearts directly from God. The Spirit operates divinely upon all. Many may resist and refuse to become sons and daughters of God, but the invitation must go to them all the same for a witness that God has extended to them the gracious invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14, verse 17. We have no time to rest. We must press the religious truth upon the souls ready to perish. Oh, this work is not to be left to be carried in a haphazard manner. It is a solemn, holy work, presenting to fallen men the true method of redemption, which is reconciliation with God and justification by faith in Christ as their personal Savior. Man can be only the human instrument. The Spirit of God bears witness within to the great moral revelation in the human agent. And we cannot consent to rest in a matter where eternal interests are involved, on less assurance, and accept a less testimony. The Lord God of heaven has made ample provision that all who believe in Him shall have rest of soul. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. John 15, verse 11, 9. As long as doubt and uncertainty shall remain in the mind, there can be no rest. Therefore, the promises of God are ample and complete, and to distrust is to doubt the Lord who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Where is there room to doubt? There is no rest of soul until the day star arise in the heart, and Christ is formed within the hope of glory, and then how spontaneously the cry comes from the depths of the soul, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15. This is the experience we must individually have, bringing the science of redemption into our practical, daily experience. And as Jesus is lifted up in prayer, in exhortation, and in songs of praise, many hearts will be touched, and souls will be drawn to fall in line with the truth, the way, and the life. They will evidence the love of Christ in words and in deportment, and this gracious influence produces fruit, a oneness in purposes with Christ, a sympathy with His interests and glory, and an intense affection as the eye of faith beholds Him in His purity, self-denial, self-sacrifice, and unsurpassed love for fallen man. The Lord Jesus knows His people by name. He is acquainted with the circumstances of every soul. the shepherd knoweth the sheep by the sound of their bleating, by their faces, and the great shepherd knoweth us. A true shepherd leaves paths and helps his sheep that are anyways wounded, sick, or bruised. The lame ones have his special care. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Jacob relates to the avaricious and selfish Laban. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thine house. Genesis 31, verse 40, 41. He had lost some, but he had tended and interestedly cared for, and sympathized with, and protected his sheep, during his long remaining in charge, to the utmost of his power. But consider the great shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. How much greater hath been his watch care? How much more intimately is his interest identified with his sheep than was Jacob's, the temporal shepherd, who tenderly cared for the suffering, the sick, and wounded? But the chief shepherd, whose sheep we are, knoweth every one of us. He hath weighed every burden, and no one knoweth the weight. Let no one feel that they have no sympathy. You have the tenderest, most loving sympathy. Christ is acquainted with all our infirmities and wants our confidence. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42, verse 5. Listen to his precious words to his disciples as he was about to leave them. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, verse 1-3. What a blessed subject for our contemplation. Let us try to take this thought with us. He will come again. He will not leave you comfortless. Then be cheered and encouraged and strengthened. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He pours out his tenderest feelings in the channel of sympathy. It is his sheep who are thus privileged. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." John 15, verse 16. His love was exercised for us before we loved him. His grace was making its impressions on our hearts before we turned towards him. We are not only the property of Christ by choice, but we are his also by purchase. "Ye are not your own," he says, "but ye are bought with a price, not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot and without blemish." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19.